Good evening. It's good to see everybody back this evening. I was talking to Steve and Robin before services started, and Robin always likes to have a story. So, I don't know, where'd they go? They were here. She heard I was preaching. Anyway, she always likes to have a story, and part of this sermon is based around a story. So, kind of sit back for this first part. Put a picture in your mind of what's going on. You wake up, the sun's shining brightly. All is good, you think. You made it to the kitchen, you got some coffee brewing, it smells good. Got the paper off the porch, sat down, got yourself a cup of coffee, proceeded to read the paper. Got that all done, now it's time to get in the shower. Boy, does that feel good. Got all cleaned and dried off. Went to the closet, hunted around. I finally found something nice to wear. You got a little breakfast ready. You're thinking to yourself, boy, this tastes good. You're all ready to go to work. Check everything around the house. Everything's cool. And you make it out to the car. You open the door and you go, what is this? It was broken into. They took the radio, the stereo. They took the laptop you had. You had a little cash stowed away in the console, and they even got that. You've been robbed. So what do? You call into work. You told the boss and everybody what had happened and that you were going to be late because you were going to wait for the police to show up to do the reports. The police took all the information, and finally you're off to work. The boss called you into his office. He knew you were having a bad day, but he'd already had things planned for you. He called you into the office, told you he was going to make your day just a little bit better. He said, I know you've had a tough morning. I already had this planned, so let's make your day a little better. He said, I'm giving you a $1,500 raise. And there was a bonus involved of $500. I started having tears run down my cheeks. That was just fabulous. And then he said, I also have a fairly new laptop that we're not using. And he gave it to you. And you're thinking, wow, was that ever nice. You thanked him. You went to work. And all was good. Except your stuff was gone. Now, a couple days had gone by. You and some of your friends had stopped by the local pub on the corner for a cocktail or two. Hey, you were a little late getting home. You opened the door. Yep, you guessed it. Someone broke in. They took all your electronics and some of your keepsakes that were not replaceable. You've been robbed. So, you called the police again. They came out after they got all the information. You scratched your head a little bit, and you're thinking, it's time to get some rest. I got to get up in the morning. I got to go to work. Well, that didn't work out well. Couldn't sleep. Everything on my mind. A couple weeks ago, my car broken into. All my stuff's gone. Tonight I get home. My house has been broken into. All of my stuff's gone. And then I waited to hear from the police. Waited for about a month. Finally, you call them and they said they couldn't find anything. None of your stuff. And they're closing the case. Your stuff is gone forever. Devastating. Some of us have been in situations where things have gotten stolen from us. It's an invasion of privacy. It gives you a sick feeling. But you pull yourself together and you move on. And then, here's what happened to this person. Now, you got to run in with a group of people that like to have fun. You opened your heart and mind to them because this was great. It was fun. Well, Satan had entered the scene. You started partying every night, started sleeping around, had some one-night stands. Then drugs got introduced. Then a couple of your friends, you find out, were homosexual. And now you seem to think this might be okay. And then another friend had an abortion. And you're thinking, well, you know, we talked about it, and maybe that was okay. And then you sit back, you get home, put your feet up, you're watching TV, and you're thinking, my life is a wreck. Well, by the way, did you mention you quit going to worship service? Did you mention that you were raised in a Christian home and had good values? What has happened? Satan has gotten a hold of you, and all of your principles are gone. You've been robbed. Your salvation is at risk. So what to do? You were born and raised in a Christian home. You had Christian values. You were baptized. Everything was good. And then you just completely off track. So you think to yourself, maybe I should go back to God's Word. Maybe I can find some instruction in there to help me get out of this situation that I'm in. Maybe I can get away from this wreck of a life I've got and get back on track. So we're going to look at some verses now as to what happened. Some of these are going to be real familiar because we've been studying them in class on Sunday morning for those of you that are there. But here's the situation. God has rules, and he's going to send Jesus to uphold them. That's judgment day. Everybody will stand in judgment. And in that calling, few are going to be chosen. If we look at Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and it seems like for the last two or three months, Bruce and I have just been beating this scripture to death. But I don't know that you can really do that because it's important. 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, here it comes, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So this was a verse that you came upon as you went searching. I always like to think sometimes, you know, I open up the Bible sometimes and I just kind of think God just had me open it right there because there's a message right there. There was a movie producer one time, I forget who he was, but he said, give me one page out of the Bible and I'll build you a movie. And that is so true. But your life is a wreck. This is where you turned. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everybody's going to go to heaven. Wait a minute. Now, I've been out partying. I've been messing around sexually. I got into drugs. I'm thinking homosexuality's okay, and I'm thinking abortion might be okay, and all these things are going on. And now I'm reading this. Even though I'm a Christian, I've been baptized, and I was born and raised in a Christian family, I might not be able to go to heaven because of all this stuff I've been doing. So I go back just a little bit because this verse is right above, and I'm reading in Matthew 7 and 13, and it says, enter by the narrow gate. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? There must be a gate that's wider then. So I must have to do what God wants me to do if I'm going to get in that narrow gate. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Well, that was the path I'm on. And there are many who go in by it. That's the path you were on. That's the path that you're leading right now. So we look at this, and I always think of this narrow gate and this wide gate as if I had a great big semi with all this garbage on it. I can drive that through the wide gate. But I can't get it through the narrow gate. I can't get all that garbage through there. I can't get all that stuff that's in my life through there. So now you start thinking, okay, let's take a look at this and see who is not going to get into heaven. We know that God has rules. We know that not everybody's going to be chosen. We know that he's going to say, just go away, I don't know you, to some. And he said already that you can't get in by the wide gate, you can only get in by the narrow gate. So you turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Because Paul lays it out very clearly and very plainly to the Corinthians what's going on. And he asks them a question first. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, that's a pretty profound statement. Don't you know that? You people believed when I was here and I taught you, and you believed, and now you're getting clear off track. He's talking to the church at Corinth here, but he's also talking to us. And he said, you've done all this, and don't you know that if you're unrighteous, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? In other words, what in the world is going on with you? Do not be deceived. Don't be thinking you're going to get there if you're doing some of this stuff that's going to follow here. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunks, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's a whole mouthful right there in two verses. So let's see exactly what he's saying. First of all, he asked him, he said, don't you know that being unrighteous, you are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I know that. So here's what he says to me. He says, the unrighteous aren't going to make it. Those deceived, those that think that they're going to be okay, even if they have a little bit of sin in their life. We've done some different things about how important one sin can be. Lot's wife was told not to look back. She did. She turned into a pillar of salt. Moses was told to speak to the rock. He took the rod and tapped it. He couldn't go into the promised land. And story after story after story, just one thing, was a huge mistake. So don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers. Now, you fall under right here because you just said that you've been messing around sexually. So you're thinking to yourself, well, I got to stop that because adulterers aren't going to make it. Homosexuals, two of my buddies are homosexual. Paul, you tell me they're not going to make it, right? So evidently, my thinking to start with that they were wrong is still in the right way of thinking. They're not doing the right thing. Sodomites, thieves, those guys that took my stuff. Those guys that took all the stuff out of your house and your car, they're not going to make it. They, you know, you draw a little satisfaction there if you want to. Those who covet, those who drink till they're drunk, revilers and extortioners, none of these people are going to make it into heaven. It says so right here. Don't kill the messenger. God's the one that put it in there. So now, we go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And you look a little further into God's word, because now you're starting to get back on track in your mind. You're thinking, okay, all this stuff I've been doing is not good. It's wrong. And you're back, you know, fairly well convinced. So we go to First John chapter 2, verses 15 and through 17. And here's what John has to say. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Uh-oh. All this stuff I was doing with my friends was really fun, though. I was really kind of starting to like it. But it says here, don't love that world. And don't love those things in that world. If anyone loves the world, guess what? The love of the Father is not in him. You can't have it both ways. Another verse that comes to mind is you can't serve two masters. You can't serve Satan and God at the same time. You can't be a lover of what's outside these walls in the world and a lover of God's word at the same time. Doesn't work that way. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, what does that mean? That means that's the promise of going to heaven. That's the promise of living a life of eternity with God. But you got to do what he's saying. You can't love the world. Now, he's separated out three different things here. Actually four. Lovers of the world, first of all. But lovers of the world include the other three. Because this is what happens when you love the things out in the world. You have the lust of the flesh. The sleeping around. The one night stands. You have the lust of the eye. Well, that looks good to me. Let's do it. Whether it's God's will or if it's okay or not. And then you have the pride of life. I got to be a little better than the Smiths, than the Joneses. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get up on the top of the pedestal and be the best. Financially. And whatever it takes. I'm going to do it. And we see it. You see it almost every day. How big corporate people step on little people to get what they want. It happens in the workplace. We've all seen it. I've seen it in the workplace when I was still working. So it goes on. Those with the pride of life. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what John's saying here. Now, let's take a look at who will get into the kingdom of God. These are all verses and passages that are familiar to us. Let's go to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. We'll start with 16. I want to read about three or four verses here, and then we'll come back to the one that is key here. But start in verse 16, it says, "But they had not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Back to verse 17. This is one way you get into heaven. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're thinking to yourself, well, I heard the word of God because I baptized, I obeyed it, you know, at one time. I'm cool. Okay, so now what else do we need to do? Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men," this is Jesus speaking, "him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." You have to confess your belief in Jesus. We had two baptisms this morning. The question Bruce asked both of them before they were baptized, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" They both answered yes. That's the confession. You confess that belief. Okay, so you've done that. You've heard the word. You confessed it. Jesus was the way. Okay, so let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 3. "I tell you no." Let's start the first of the chapter. "There were present at that season some of who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Now I get back up in here and it says, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" I get that from Jesus, that there isn't any, no level of sin. It's just sin, sin. Why do you think they're worse than you? But I'm going to tell you this: if you don't repent, you're not going to heaven. That you can go to the bank with. Okay, so you're thinking I'm okay there, but I got all this stuff going on in my life, so I got to give that up. I have to repent and make things right. Okay, so I got to mark that down. I'm make a note of that. This is one thing I got to take care of. Okay, now let's go to Mark. Everybody ought to be able to even quote this verse. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's pretty plain. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Okay, you're thinking, all right, I was baptized. And I was baptized for the right reason. And I believe. So far right now, I'm cool. I got everything done, except somehow I got to repent of all this sin I have in my life. And now, let's go to Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and that you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That is a promise. Okay? So, you believe that Jesus is still the Son. You still believe that. You still confess that belief. You were baptized. You haven't remained faithful, though, have you? Because you remember back over yonder, we kind of liked doing those fun things that were out there that all the people were doing. I got to thinking abortion was okay. I got to thinking homosexuality was okay. I got to thinking that drugs, alcohol, all the stuff was okay. It was fun. Well, Satan made it seem that way anyway, huh? So here's what I need to do, or here's what you need to do. You need to repent of your sins, and then you need to remain faithful. Okay, that's cool. Let's look at John 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. We all knew that verse was there. So if you're going to remain faithful, you're going to repent of your sins, you're going to remain faithful, then it would appear to me that you're going to love Jesus. And you will keep his commands. Because you've just had this period of time where your life was a wreck. And you know full well, because you've still got the good down inside you, if you will, that you can turn this thing around. And what you're reading in the Bible and what God has directed you to is right now everything's good, except you need to repent of your sin and get out of this situation. And then you need to live righteous. If you do that, that'll show me that you love me and that you're keeping my commands. Okay? 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know him. How's that? If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. Right now you're lying to God, because you're saying, I love you, and I believe everything, but right now in my life I'm not keeping the commands. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. That means you need to walk like Jesus walked. You need to walk in that light. You need to be the example to others. So, okay, here's where you are. You know you need to get the sin out of your life. You know you need to repent. And you need to know that you need to get back on track and live a righteous life. And you're thinking to yourself, I can do that. The Bible is our map. It lays out very plainly the plan that God has for our salvation. It also lays out very plainly the plan that has Satan involved. So here's the thing. We looked at three different types of robberies tonight. Someone robbed your home, took all your stuff, you can't get it back. Somebody robbed your car, they took all your stuff, you can't get it back. Satan came in and robbed your heart and mind, set you on a wrong track. But the difference between the house and the home and yourself is this. God will forgive. And he'll give you everything back. You can have everything back that you once had. But you can't get that stuff back out of the house and the car because the police said it's gone. We closed the case and it's over. But God doesn't ever close the case on us. He gives us that chance to say, okay, I got to get rid of the sin in my life. I will repent. I will lead my life righteous. I will keep your command. And he'll give everything back to you. Your heart and mind, your soul, everything will be good. And we get all that back if we repent and if we get back to doing what he wants us to do. You've been robbed. But you can get your possessions back as far as your life. If there are any in here tonight that have not been baptized, if they've not put their Lord on in baptism, we would issue that invitation at this time. Also, if there's anybody that has that kind of sin in their life and they need to get rid of it and they can't get it out of their own and they need some help, this congregation's good about praying for people. And it works. So if you got anything going on that you need some help with and you want to make it known, now's the time to do it as we stand and curtly just sing the invitation song.